Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. I want to welcome you on this Saturday. If you're listening to us live, let us know where you're listening from. And I want to thank you to the over 70 countries that are currently listening to Life Transformation Radio. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your support and listening to the show. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use it to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. And you can listen to us live Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. However, today on Saturday, I'm bringing to you a special bonus episode of Life Transformation Radio with a very, very special guest. So if you're tuning in, crank that dial and pay attention, because he's going to bring you the most amazing content that you're not going to get anywhere else unless you listen to his show. Join our community at Life Transformation Radio Community on Facebook and subscribe to the show wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, the Google Play Music app. Basically, wherever you listen to shows, Life Transformation Radio can be streamed and listened to. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, basically amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for the guests that I bring on the show, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. My team is standing by to field your calls. And if you have a great question, get you on the show. And with that, please help me welcome to the show our guest, Daniel Geffen. Daniel, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Woohoo! Hello. How's everyone doing?
Oh man, I love the intro.
Baby. Oh yeah,
we're gonna get down and deep today. So man, I really want to honor you and tell us where you're coming live from.
I'm actually in Israel, in the Middle East. Almost midnight. It's 11 o'clock p.m. here. We've put the kids to bed. All five of them. It was a bit of a crazy day today. They're all at each other's throats, so thank God they're sleeping peacefully finally, and now I'm able to record, you know. We're in Israel.
Well, I won't keep you too long, but man, that's amazing that we're doing this show, and I'm in the U.S., you're in Israel, we're doing this amazing show, and there's going to be thousands of listeners listening to what we're doing, so I really appreciate your time, man. I really, really do.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure and an honor to be on the show. Thank you.
So the title of this episode is Can I Pick Your Brain with author and podcast host Daniel Geffen. Daniel is a serial entrepreneur, dual podcast host, founder of Podbooker, and author of Self-Help Addict, and the founder of Geffen Media Group. Daniel is an outspoken voice on social and digital media, and his show, Can I Pick Your Brain, was one of the hottest podcasts in town with Tom Bilyeu, Noah Kagan, and Naveen Jain, among many other celebrities and entrepreneurs. His new business, Podbooker, helps the 99% of people who will never get booked on the big shows to expand their reach, refine their art, and get noticed. In a very entertaining talk, we cover they cover everything from the joys of podcasting, tips for podcast guests, the possibility of creating true and original content and ideas. He also shares his journey as an author and how writing was the hardest thing he has ever done, and compares it to giving birth. Not that he's done so. He's just saying that it's pretty much the hardest thing he's ever done, and why he's going to write another book. Daniel is passionate and passionate about encouraging entrepreneurs to find and share their voice, to not be afraid of imperfection and not worry about what others think. If you want to know more about what he does and to check out his show, go to podbooker.com. Go to Daniel Geffen, Daniel D-A-N-I-E-L, Geffen, G-E-F-E-N, danielgeffen.com. And then check out his business, Geffen Media Group. And if you want to get booked on shows, connect with him and he will show you how. And with that, I have to ask, man, there's a lot going on here. What is your why? Why do you do what you do?
It's interesting. So when someone says, what's my why? I automatically think back to when I was in high school. And basically I was bullied in high school, emotionally bullied. Mm. I was called a lot of different names. And the biggest problem with me and school was that I always wanted to share my creativity, right? I'm a very creative person, and I always feel like I want to be able to, you know, share what I want to say. And in school, you know, I was always told to be quiet, and I was always told I can't speak out of turn. I can't speak. And in fact, the teachers would call me Shut Up Geffen, like, and all the students would end up nicknaming me Shut Up Geffen, because I would always be told to shut up. And so I felt like I couldn't express myself. And that was my biggest, I felt like I was in a prison where I felt just, you know, chained and unable to really. And the truth is that followed through after school as well, when I ended up working for people. And I felt also that my need to express myself, my creativity was really suppressed. Which is why I became an entrepreneur, not because I necessarily wanted to be an entrepreneur, you know, but because I had to, because there was no other choice. Like, I felt like I was in prison when I couldn't express myself fully. And as an entrepreneur, I'm able to express myself fully. That is the biggest freedom and the most liberating thing, is to be able to fully express myself in my creativity and how I want to essentially give to the world. And I believe that there are certain people, not everybody has this. There are certain people who have a gift that they're able to express themselves in a very unique way. I mean, everyone can express themselves in a unique way, but there are certain entrepreneurial type of people who that is, you know, that is their calling, to get up mm-hmm. on a stage, to get on a podcast, to write a book, to produce a video, and to inspire other people, with their products or with their, you know, knowledge and experience. And for all of you listening, if you're an entrepreneur and you're listening to this, you'll really relate to this idea of being told that you can't do the very thing that it's like telling you not to breathe. You know, it's like being told you can't breathe, right? And that's my why. My why is to be able to give people a platform to be able to freely express their voice, and to be able to inspire others with their voice. And that's my why.
Mm. Man, I love that. I think that there's so many times that people want to stand up and say something. I've been in conversations mm-hmm. with people and they're like, man, I knew I should have said something. I'm like, well, then do it.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, then there's other times mm-hmm. where like, man, I shouldn't even said nothing. I should just kept my mouth shut. And like, how do we discern between the two? Because there's some times where, you know, if I know that my friend is going through a divorce and maybe there's you know, adultery or there's something going on, or maybe there's domestic assault or something going on, I'm like, do I say something? Do I not say something? Or mm-hmm. if I have a message inside, you know, my soul, my heart, my mind wants to just get this out in a book, or like, do I say something? Do I not say something? How do we... Is there a way to determine this? Do we say something? Do we not say something? Yeah. When's the right time?
It's such a great question, because what I found in my life is that there were times where I actually should not have said anything. There were times mm-hmm. when it's not the right setting. It's not the right setting to speak. It's actually a time when really the best way to express yourself is actually expressing yourself in silence. You know, sometimes when a friend is going through a really tough period, just being there with them, just being there without saying anything. You know, I know that that there are certain types of people who, when I meet them and I want to talk to them, they always have to talk about themselves. They always like turn it into their, whoa, you think you're struggling, man. Whoa, what a weak I had. I'm like, shut up. I don't care about your freaking week. I'm the one that's talking now. I want to speak.
You so, think that's you know, bad.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, shut up. I didn't come here to talk to you about your stuff. I want to talk. Imagine you go to a therapist, Sean, and you sit there, you talk, and she's like, "You think that's bad? You should have, you should have heard the person. Okay, that's nothing. Come on,
right?
That therapist
would
be out of business.
You would never go to that therapist.
Right? Exactly.
You're like, I'm out of here.
You know, So to answer your question, like, yeah, for sure, you shouldn't be going around like talking all the time, 100%. And that comes with maturity, right? There comes and not just maturity, but self-esteem. Self-esteem is plays a really, really, really big part in this. When you feel that you have to speak, it's coming from a place of low self-esteem. I had to really work hard. Yeah, I had to really work hard on that because I went through such abuse, emotional abuse as a child, I felt like I was overcompensating for attention. You know, I was that guy that needed all the attention. I would come into a room and I would suck all the attention from everyone else. I would need it. Like I would literally like I was handicapped. I was emotionally handicapped. That's how I see myself. Like I look at like my parents, for example. You know, and everybody, you know, they have their thing with their parents, right? And the way that I was able to essentially accept my parents and love them for who they are was when I got to a place where I realized that they were just emotionally handicapped. It wasn't their mm-hmm. fault. And so, you know, I was emotionally handicapped and I had to train myself. And training myself really came down to building up my self-esteem. Because when you don't have a good self-esteem and you don't have a healthy self-esteem, you it's a craving. And here's the difference. You asked me, what's the difference? How do you know the difference? The difference is when you don't need to, when you don't have that feeling that I need the attention. That's the difference. When you're speaking from a place where you feel like you can add and you can give to the conversation, you can help somebody, but it's coming from a place of strength, not from a place of weakness. There's a difference.
Mm.
When I feel like I need to prove myself, that's not coming from a place of strength. That's coming from a place of weakness. I need to prove to you that I'm somebody. I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I'm God's creation. I'm a peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a religious Jew, so I get a bit spiritual. But even if you don't believe in God, you are a somebody. You are unique. There is nobody in this world that is like you. You do not need to prove yourself to anybody. And when you do, by the way, when you feel the need, when you need to prove yourself to somebody, you're giving your power to them. They own you. You are a puppet. Okay. I was a puppet in school because I felt the need to be the class clown. I needed to make everybody laugh. I needed to do that because then they'll like me and then they'll accept me and then they'll, think I'm, but it was crap. It was crap. The most depressing moment of my teenage years was when I came to the realization that they're not laughing with me. They're laughing at me. I am their monkey. I am their little,
you know,
monkey on a string. And when they pull this way, I go this way. And you know what? That went through my adult life. And I found myself being pulled in different directions. Oh, this person's so wealthy. I've got to talk about how, I went on this beautiful vacation. And oh, look at my picture. And on Facebook and in social media, I've got to put out this certain persona. And it's all crap. And that's when I started to work on the self-esteem of I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I'm just going to come and give what I can and be there when somebody needs some. I'll be there, but I don't need to be the one. I don't have to be the one to stand up on the table and get the attention. That's the definite. It's very, very. It's a very fine line, but it all comes down to awareness. And when you have self-awareness, then you'll be able to start seeing the times when you're coming from a place of weakness or a place of strength, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. I've heard it said that a lion does not need to tell anybody that he's a lion. It's
right.
That he carries himself the way that he, right? So yeah. I totally get that. And I'm right there with you. I used to be the class clown. I used to be, because I wanted to be a person of value. I wanted them to like me. I wanted them to be like, that guy, I like that guy and that, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. And I see that they weren't actually, some of them may have been laughing with me. Others like, what a dork. You know, like the guy's dumb. Yeah. And he's like at me. Like, and I totally get that. I think that's where a lot of the bullying comes in, is the need to feel like they're above everybody else. Need to
they feed off your weakness and they smell it. Yep. You know, it's like a dog. You know, if you're scared of a dog, the dog will smell your fear and will, you know, the same thing goes for muggers. You know, there's studies that show that if you're walking in the street at night and there's somebody who is looking to prey on someone, to mug them, to steal from them, mm-hmm. They can sense there's an energy that you give off. If you feel scared, if you feel weak, they can sense that and they will prey on you, but they won't go after people who have the sense of an air of confidence, an air of I'm not scared. There's an energy that we give off in the world, and it's also the reason why we attract certain people into our lives. When we give mm-hmm. off a certain type of energy, we actually attract those people, right?
Yep.
And yeah, so yeah,
yep.
it's
I love
really
that.
Interesting, fascinating stuff.
So tell us about a transformational moment that changed your life and put you on the path to what you're doing today.
Wow. I tell you a pivotal moment that happened to me about mm-hmm. 4 years ago. And this is how I got into the podcasting space and basically everything that I'm doing right now. So I'll make this very brief because it's a whole long story that I wrote in my book. But essentially,
sure.
yeah, I got married at a young age, relatively young age, 22. I'm from London. My wife is from California. We met in Israel, interestingly enough. And I being the very – yeah, yeah. So we compromised, right? Yeah. yeah. Basically what happened was she wasn't really interested in me, but I was interested in her. See, I would never be able to say that a few years ago. That's funny. Cause that's, you know, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, she was into me. But now I could say that without feeling embarrassed by it. But, mm-hmm. I ended up, I'm one of these guys that, I'm very persistent. And if I can't have something, I'll go for it even more. Like I'll just fight even
yep.
harder for it.
I'm the fit,
so
man.
My wife, yeah, so my wife was that thing, you know, this is about 12 years ago now. We're married 12 years now. So I ended up flying, to California and I ended up crashing by random people's houses until I overstayed my welcome. And then I kept crashing at different people's houses because that was the only way I could afford. At the time, I didn't have any money. And I didn't know anybody in California. I'd never been to the States. And mm-hmm. I was just there to date my wife. Like I was determined that I'm going to marry this woman. She didn't know that, of course, but I did in my head. I'm going to date this woman. And we ended up dating. And after about, well, I don't know how long it was, but a couple of months, I would say, of us dating, I was getting a bit like, come on, we gotta, you know, get married already because I'm running out of houses to crash. Like, you know, there's nowhere else to go. And I don't have any money. So like, you know, I got to get a job and all this stuff. Which, by the way, I know you're probably thinking, but how could you get married if you don't ask too many questions, right? I was young and dumb and stupid, and it was wonderful. and it was wonderful. And I wouldn't.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah, I wouldn't change it for anything. In fact, I miss those days where I miss the days when I was just so like just ignorant and just didn't think about anything, just went with it. It's beautiful. Anyway, I was learning a lot of psychology, human psychology, and what I realized is that I realized my wife, I mean my Lauren, okay, the woman I'm married to now, was not interested in getting married because she felt like it was too easy, right? And the way it works with men and women is that when a woman feels like a guy is just too easy, and by the way, it works with the other way around as well. When a man feels like a woman is just too easy, you're not interested, right? So I figured this out, and I decided to play the reverse psychology card, the takeaway clothes in sales. And so she calls me up one day, and I said, "Listen, Lauren, you know, I've been thinking about things over the weekend, and you know, I really, really like you. Like I've fallen madly in love with you. But unfortunately, I can't go on anymore, and I don't think we can date. I think I'm just going to go back to, back to England and date other girls." And she said, "What do you mean? Why? I thought things were going great." I'm like, "You know what? I'll be honest with you. I feel like the longer that we go out, the more I'm going to fall in love with you, and the harder it is for me, you know, if we break up, and I'm just going to be heartbroken. So I prefer to just end it now and move on. And listen, I wish you the very best." Now, as I'm saying these words, my heart is literally pounding away, and I'm sweating, right? And I'm like, "Oh, flip. I hope she doesn't call my bluff, you know." And she ends up basically saying, no, let's just go out one more time. Let's go out one more date. And I said, "Okay, fine. But on one condition, we have to play a game." And I said, she's like, "Okay, what game?" I'm like, "It's called Spin the Bottle. But here's the thing, we don't kiss. Instead, we have questions that we have to ask each other. And these are going to be 10 questions that are like your deepest questions that you have about life. You know, so what would you want written on your tombstone? If there was a fire, you know, in your house, what would be the 3 items you would take with you? If you, you know, these types of questions, like serious questions." So she's like, "Oh, that sounds so much fun." So we went to the beach. And to cut a long story short, we played the game. And at the end of the game, after we read the last question, she said, "I'm ready." And I said, "Ready for what?"
Wow. Marriage.
That was that. 12 years later, 5 kids. We're like, "Oh, here we go. Here it is." but it's brilliant. anyway, so why did I get to this? So the reason why I said that was because we ended up in California. California, 2008 came along. I was on a 6-figure salary. We went broke, got kicked out of my apartment with my first child. We were basically homeless, moved into her parents. That didn't go very well, as you can imagine. We were on the brink of divorce. So we ended up moving to London. I got a job with my dad, which was one thing I swore I would never, ever do. But I had no choice because it was either that or get divorced. And, you know, that was not going to happen. So ended up working for my dad for a year, hated it. Then started my own company, and whole long story, but basically outsourced everything to one of my competitors, ran it out of a hotel lobby, moved to Israel. it's crazy stuff happened in between.
Dude, I love that. You ran a business out of a hotel lobby. What a badass that is.
I mean,
most people would never do that. They would never. Oh, I can't do that. Look, what would they think of me? Oh my gosh, dude, that is so freaking cool.
So, that was funny. It was a funny story there. But anyway, so moved to Israel, and essentially I was in a position where I was paying the bills automatically, like meaning like the business was supporting my lifestyle. And I didn't have anything to do with the business. It was totally 100% outsourced. I didn't have to do anything. So you could say I was basically retired, semi-retired, I would say, at 31. And I get this phone call, and this is what was the transformational moment. Someone called me up and said, "Hey, I heard you got this really cool story with, you know, your company out of a hotel lobby and da-da-da and all this stuff. I'd love to have you on my podcast." Now I turn around and I'm like, "What the heck is a podcast?" I didn't know what a podcast was at the time. So he had to explain to me what a podcast was. And I thought, whoa, that sounds amazing, right? Because I love to talk. So I'm like, what do I have to do? He's like, we just put on a headset and, you know, you just sit in a room that's quiet and that's it. I'll do the rest. Great. So I'm sitting in my, you know, basically in my bedroom in Israel. Okay. I got this headset on with my computer and I just did a podcast like this, right? And at the end of the show, first of all, I felt like we were talking for 10 minutes and he's like, that's it. It's been an hour. I was like, what? An hour? How is that possible? Wow, that was so much fun. But then I said, yeah, how many people were listening to this? Because I'm staring at the walls, right? I'm just talking to the walls. So I'm thinking, God, you know what I mean? Yeah, who was listening? Like, you know, five people? You know what I mean? Like, who? And to be honest with you, if you would have said to me 50 people, I would have been like, wow. Because I've never spoken in front of 50 people before, right?
Right.
I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like when I got up on the table in high school, like maybe there was like 25 kids in the class, you know, but he says, oh, well over 1,000 people. So this was like one of the, you know, a smaller part. And I literally almost fell off my chair. What? Yeah. What do you mean? You're telling me I was speaking to 1,000 people? Like literally, I was like going crazy. I was like, where are these people? And he starts listing countries. I'm telling you, like you said, you were in 70 countries. Okay, this guy was literally listing off Australia, Sweden, Germany, America, South Africa, China. I'm like, what? Yep. Guatemala. I'm like, this is nuts. And that's when the penny dropped. And I realized I'm going all in on podcasting. Because if I could sit in my bedroom in the middle of nowhere, in Israel, in the Middle East, and I'm speaking to dozens of countries and there's thousands of people listening and I haven't even gotten out. I'm in my pajamas right now, by the way, just for you guys. I will say that I was in the gym. I'm in my underwears right now. Okay, it's crazy. Okay, so I don't know how many people are listening to this, but like you know, all over the world. So imagine sitting in your underwear, okay, talking to thousands of people all over the world. Where in the world can you do that? That was the transformational moment for me.
Right now we have 81% of our listeners are listening from the United States, 5.8% are United Kingdom, 3.59% are from Canada, 3.28 are from Sweden, and 1.26 are from Australia right now. That's the listeners that we have listening right now.
Wow.
I can pull my analytics and see exactly where they're coming from.
Right. Like, Sean, I'm like, guys, get on podcasts for crying out loud. Yep. Because it's insane.
And get on international podcasts. Like, because what I've noticed is I've been on a couple podcasts in the UK, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. This is amazing. I'm like, awesome. You know, like, yeah we're going to have listeners from everywhere. But that, like, you have your listeners from wherever you are. The UK has their listeners from wherever they are. You know, they have their different audiences and people have podcasts from Canada. Like they have their audience and it may not even be my same audience from the US. Right. So
100%. Listen, there's like 19 million Americans listening to podcasts right now.
And get international people on your podcast. This is great that we get to do this because you're a podcast host. I'm a podcast host. And so basically we're serving each other's audiences at this moment right now. I tag you on social media. Your audience is seeing it. People who didn't even know me are seeing my show. My audience, my people may not even know who you are. And now they have another podcast to listen to. I love having podcast hosts because you get to expand your reach. And so I'm like, hey, tell me about your show, about this. And so I'm introducing my audience to another podcast they can listen to, and yours is amazing. Yours is great, by the way.
Well, here's thank you. I really appreciate that. And the thing is that, you know, I wrote a book a year ago, and this book would not have happened if I didn't have my audience. If I didn't have this audience that I built up through podcasting, there was nothing else. I didn't know Facebook ads. I didn't even have a Facebook account when I started my podcast. I did not have a Facebook account or Instagram, no social media. I didn't have anything, nothing. I had no audience, Sean. I was nothing. I was off the radar. And do you know what? I launched a book a year ago. It became an international number one bestseller on Amazon purely from podcasting. That was it. Nothing else. all through the power of the podcast. And I would never have dreamt in a million years that I would get 250,000, you know, downloads on my podcast and become a number one bestseller on Amazon. Like, these would, like, I would think you're crazy to say such a thing. I'm like, who am I? I'm just like a regular guy. Like, what, you know what I'm saying? But when you leverage other people's audiences, and this is what's key, is you give value and you leverage other people's audiences, it's like wildfire. Imagine if you went on just a podcast a week, that's 50 podcasts, let's say 50 podcasts a year, okay? 50 podcasts
a year. That's what I usually do, 50, 50, 60 a year.
There you go. Do the math. If there's only 1,000 people listening on a podcast, that's 50,000 people. If there's 2,000, that's 100,000 people. That's 25,000 people, 100,000. Can you imagine? I mean, it's incredible the reach that
yes.
you can get. And some podcasts have tens of thousands. So, you know, you get on some of the big ones, okay? So people say, well, which podcasts? Don't be so picky, okay? Because, you know, most people would fly halfway across the world to speak to an audience of 500 people, okay?
Yep.
If you got in front of 500 people on stage, you'd be very happy. That's a pretty nice size audience, right? Especially if they're highly mm-hmm. targeted. If they're highly targeted, which podcasts are, they're highly targeted. So imagine if you're going to fly across the world for 500 people or for 1,000 people, and you're going to have to book tickets, you're going to have to check yourself into a hotel, you have to basically schedule half your week is gone. You have to, you know, basically half your week taken just by this. With a podcast, you don't have to travel. You don't have to go anywhere, right? You don't have to – no expense, nothing. You just literally plug in and you're speaking to thousands of people. And if you do that every single week consistently, it's incredible the amount of reach that you're going to get, targeted reach. So
yes.
Literally I'm a big, 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 big proponent to getting on podcasts. Huge.
There's a – so my show, this will be repurposed into a YouTube video, and you can mm-hmm. actually, the listeners listening, there's an actual YouTube channel, Life Transformation Radio, YouTube channel. You can subscribe to it and you can get the podcast there. Yesterday, I got a message from a comment, you know, in my email, this person commented and he said, I've watched this show twice. This is brilliant. And it was me and Tim Allison. And Tim Allison mm-hmm. is the host of Screw the Naysayers podcast.
Screw the Naysayers. Yeah.
Yep. It's a great show. And they, you know, we literally did the show live and then it went over to YouTube and instantly people were watching, listening. They were commenting. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Another, I was on his show back in June and somebody tagged me and said, this is amazing. Thanks, you know, whatever. I was like, that's awesome. His followers, and it wasn't like she friend requested me and now we're going to do business together. That didn't happen. What happened was she said, oh my gosh, great episode. Thanks, Tim, for bringing out amazing guests. Sean, you were awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. Make sure you tell your friends. Make sure that you subscribe to his show. Make sure, like, I'm pushing the traffic towards him, but that's one more person that knows my name. And then they'll say, oh my gosh, you need to listen to the show. And what I've learned is it takes one person. One.
Yeah.
To hear your show, change their life, and then do business with you.
You know what? Speaking about that one person, I can tell you that people say to me all the time, like, oh, so what has podcasting done for you? Da, da, da. Well, first of all, it's opened up so many doors. I mean, the amount of contacts that I've made, my network has totally blown up just by the people I've met, by A, getting on other people's podcasts and having my own show. Business opportunities that have come about, the fact that I've basically, you know, managed to become an authority in my space, which means I could charge whatever I want. It means I can work with whoever I want as well. And when people see you as an authority, you don't have to fight for the market anymore, right? The competition doesn't have anything on you because you have become the authority in your space. And I'm telling you, for if anyone listening to this right now, if you have a business and you have competitors, which everybody does, right? And you're having to price match or compete on price or try to, like, you know, having to constantly fight over the marketplace, like, you know, stealing. If you become an authority in your space, a recognizable authority, people trust you, you will not have that issue. You will not have to fight for the customers. They will come beating your door. You won't have to go chasing them. And I'm telling you, it's the most liberating thing, because you know, waking up every morning and having to like, oh God, I've got to like, you know, invest money in marketing, and I've got to, you know, make sure my pricing is right, and I've got to sell hard, and I've got to, oh, you don't have to do that anymore, because people call you up. They're like, oh my goodness, I know you. I've read your book. I heard you on these podcasts. Like, wow, you know, I listened to your podcast. Like, they look at you as the authority, as the guru. I hate the word guru, but I'm going to use it anyway. But when people look at you like that, then you get to decide who you work with and how much you charge. It's amazing. But that's not even the best thing about podcasting for me. For me, I'll tell you one quick story.
Okay.
I did a podcast with someone, and we were talking about, I had a guest actually on my show, and this guest talked about how he was really depressed, severely depressed, to the point where he attempted to take his own life multiple times. And at one point he was in bed for, I think, a number of weeks, and he wouldn't leave his bedroom. And his best friend came to make sure he was okay. And he tried to get him out of bed. He said, look, you know, let's go. His name was Toph. He said, Toph, let's go for a jog. And Toph's like, are you crazy, man? Like, I can't even move. I'm like, there's no way I can go for a run. I can't even move out of my bed. You want me to come for a run? To cut a long story short, his friend basically said, look, I'm not leaving your room until you come for a quick run with me. And so, you know, an hour went by, and Toph realized this guy was serious. He's just not going to move. So he's like, fine, if you promise me that you're just going to leave me alone, I'll come for like a 10-minute run. They go for this 10-minute run. Toph comes back and says, oh my God, I feel like a new person. Come back tomorrow. Let's do it again. They started running regularly. The 10-minute run turned into 30 minutes, into an hour, into a marathon, up Mount Everest, one of only 100 people who have ever done it. Okay. And he now is an extreme athlete who does crazy stuff for charity. He did a 24-hour treadmill run. He did a 12-hour swim. Crazy, incredibly, incredibly inspirational guy. Written a best-selling book now, has his own show. Okay. But that's not the story. The story is that I get an email about a week later from a person, I don't know where they were in the world, but they sent me a random email, never heard from them before, didn't know them. And they said, Daniel, I just want you to know, I was attempting to take my life this week, and I stumbled upon your podcast episode with Toph Evans. And I listened to that episode, and I want you to know that it inspired me to go running, and it is changing my life, and I'm turning my life around, and I want to thank you for producing that episode.
Wow.
I mean, if that doesn't, you know, can you imagine, like, if I didn't produce that episode? Like, that's, you know, you don't know who's listening. You don't know who you're impacting. People are so afraid to, like, you know, put themselves out there, but that's selfish, because God gave you a gift, and you have a responsibility to use that, because you don't know who you're going to impact. And by the way, just so you know, I kept in contact with that guy. He's now written his own book. He's released his own book, and he also has his own podcast show as well. And he's doing great. I mean, you know,
that's awesome.
It was worth producing, you know, all of those episodes just for that one email. Seriously.
You know, and you know what? It doesn't even have to result in money. But
right.
That guy is going to remember you and your show for a long time. And eventually it will come back to, hey, you helped me. You know, I remember you. You know, let's do some business. I know people that I've talked to years ago, like 2017. And they come back like, wow, I've seen how far you've come, and you're helping all these great people. Like, I, you know, I really need this, and I'm thinking about doing this. I'm like, let's have a conversation. And then all of a sudden it was, well, you spoke at this one event in 2017. I remember you. I really want to do this one thing. Let's do business. Boom. And it might be 2 years. People want it to happen now. They want the transformation now. They want the money now. They want everything to happen now. So it doesn't work that way. That's not how it's designed. Yeah, I don't think I think it's designed purposely for that. You know, the overnight success happens years at a time. You just don't 100%. Hear about it. So We only got a couple minutes left, man, but I really want to ask you, and you only got about 4 minutes. How can someone expand their reach and really get noticed and stand out?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so getting on podcasts to me is the number one thing right now. Like, it's the best way to build an audience and to become an authority in your space. My company, Geffen Media Group, we help authors mainly. We work with authors who are producing a book to promote their books on podcasts, because podcasts sell books like hotcakes, literally. And so they can either, you know, go to geffenmediagroup.com. They can reach out to me and we can work with them. It's a done for you service. So we actually book our clients on. We only work with the top rated shows. So if you want to get on the big shows and you basically want to skip the queue, like, you know, you don't want to start like going on the smaller shows and you just want to get on the bigger shows and get in front of the bigger audiences. We have those relationships and we can basically get you on those shows. If you are looking to just do it yourself and not want to hire an agency, then we are actually launching a platform called podbooker.com. We are launching it in a couple of months. It's still being developed, but you can get on the waiting list and get early bird specials. So just go to podbooker.com and sign up to the wait list and you'll get all of that, those updates and the special discounts before we launch.
I love it. Awesome, man.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that you want the audience to know? What's the one takeaway that if they listen to nothing else you say, what is that one thing you want them to know?
I would say what other people think of you has nothing to do with you. I feel like we live in a generation where we're so concerned about what other people think of what we're going to say, what we're going to do, and how it's going to sound. And the truth is, and it's harsh to say it, but like nobody really cares. Because everybody's focused on themselves, right? When you walk into a room, you know, and you think, well, you know, everyone's probably wondering, you know, thinking about how I look. They're not. They're thinking about how do I look, right? And when you speak to someone and you're like, I wonder what they think of me, they're thinking the same thing. So, you know, once you realize that and you stay aware of that, then you're less afraid to put yourself out there. And I think that's huge. And not to need to wait for the right moment, because the right moment may never come. And the truth is that usually the right moment is right now.
Boom. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It has been an absolute honor and pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, man, Sean, thank you so much. And, you know, also, I want to just put myself out there and to say, anybody listening to this, really, really, I mean this, please reach out to me. I'd love to hear about your journey. I'd love to spark up a conversation. I answer all of my emails. So if you send me an email, I will respond. It's Daniel@GeffenMediaGroup.com, and it's one F in Geffen. So it's Daniel@GeffenMediaGroup.com.
Perfect. And where can they subscribe to your show and listen to it?
Oh, that's, I mean, it's on all the platforms. Just type in,
gosh,
can I, all the platforms. I'm like a rash. Well, a good rash. Well, I spread far. Can I pick your brain?
I've never heard anybody compare themselves to a rash. He's like, I'm everywhere.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm everywhere. I'm like a great rash.
That's
amazing. So, Can I Pick Your Brain is the name of the show. Type that in and you'll find it.
What a great, and it's a great show, man. The guests that you've had on are absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
Absolutely phenomenal.
I appreciate that.
Daniel, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has absolutely been incredible.
Sean, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
For everybody listening, go subscribe to Can I Pick Your Brain with Daniel Geffen and my show, Life Transformation Radio. Subscribe to the shows, leave a rating and review on our shows, and let us know how we as podcast hosts are doing. Go to podbooker.com, geffenmediagroup.com, and danielgeffen.com to learn more about our guest. And with that, as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.